The internet changed everything for sales and marketing. Artificial intelligence is going to change everything again. Welcome to AI for Sales, a show that looks at how artificial intelligence is changing sales. Join noted author, speaker, and AI for Sales expert Chad Burmeister as he interviews cutting-edge founders, CEOs, CROs, CMOs, other business executives, and AI experts on the weekly AI for Sales podcast. Join the AI for Sales revolution.
Hey, everybody. Chad Burmeister, CEO of ScaleX.ai and the AI for Sales expert on the AI for Sales channel. Today, I've got Greg Siegel with me. Greg is the founder and CEO of Alice.com, a really cool platform. As you can see on his shirt, if you're seeing the video, always be personal. And that couldn't be more true in this highly, crowded marketplace that we're working in. So Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Nice to be on here.
Yeah, great to have you. It's a beautiful day in the world and sunny here in beautiful Colorado, as it looks like it is in your world as well.
Here in Greg,
Boston. Where are you located again?
Here in Boston. It's about, 87 degrees right now. So continuing the heat wave of the summer.
Nice. Boston, Mass. Love that place. Let's dig in. I'd like to understand a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Alice before we get into knowing who you are. Tell us about what you're working on right now. What does Alice do?
Yeah, simply put, Alice is a platform that helps and allows you to use gifting and swag and direct mail to invest into relationships all throughout the life cycle of your, sales and customer and employee journeys as well. So you think about sending gifts at the right place at the right time, swag, direct mail, all those things are really important as you're thinking about the investment you're making into those relationships. And Alice fully automates that, makes it really feel one-to-one in every single step of that case. And you can embed that into any systems of record, automate it through those systems, and have that also triggered one-to-one by any sales reps or marketers or HR folks as well.
I love it. I mean, I think of every case that I've gotten something in the mail that's personalized CSU golf balls. And of course, I met with the salesperson, right? I gave him 30, 45 minute sales call. What else did I get? A bottle of wine. That was pretty fabulous. And yet people don't use swag to the level of personalization. Some companies will say, hey, let me just send you something that's generic with my logo on it. And that's not the same as sending something that's personal.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
And it's hard to scale that too. I think when you think about what Alice does and you think about the impetus for Alice, it was much more about, you don't really care about what the thing is. You care about the action that's happening on the other side of it. You care about the evolution of the relationship. So if you send me golf balls or wine, you struck out with me, right? I'm a baseball guy and I'm not really a big drinker, when it comes down to it. It's the same thing with the amount of cookies and brownies that I get also, where I'm a crazy fitness guy. If you're probably looking at the video, that's what you can probably notice as well. Like, I don't put a piece of junk food in my body. And, so Alice flips that dynamic where it allows the person to get something that is seemingly personal to them, but they can exchange for anything else on this marketplace that we've curated around all these different interests, or they can donate to a charity of their choice. So again, it puts the power in their hands instead of it being something where I have to pick the perfect, golf balls for you, every single time. And, if that doesn't hit 8 out of 10 times, you just wasted 80% of your money.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, now that we've started with the end in mind of what your company's doing, I like to rewind the tape and go back to when you're younger and running around in the neighborhood that you lived in. Where'd you grow up? What were your passions? I like to connect the dots for our listeners, because there's a lot of people who are thinking of, maybe I'm not in the right lane, or how do I get into the right lane in life? And so I like to kind of help people connect those dots.
Yeah, I grew up in Connecticut. I had three really big passions when I was younger. So guitar was one of them. So I started playing guitar at an early age. So I don't even like to say how long I've been playing guitar, but that's been a big thing. I really wanted to be a rock star when I was younger, but that obviously didn't pan out as well as I was hoping. I was big into art. So I ended up going into art school at Boston University as well. And then also fell in love with computers and computer science, which we can talk about in a second. And I was a huge baseball guy. So played on all the, varsity teams and was a pitcher, growing up. helped to be left-handed, as you can imagine, there too. And that was it. But I was always enamored by, you know, just the business aspect of things, even back when I was like in, I think back in middle school, you know, I was sort of running a little baseball card trading ring, you know, where I'd buy low, sell high, you know, and was sort of the center point for, you know, for buying and selling all the baseball cards at the time. And, you know, started my first company when I was 19, you know, while I was in college, to basically help me pay for college. And that became my first company. I ran for a little over a decade, sold that company, and, you know, was looking for a business that I could start after having my daughter that was going to be much more about building impact in the world. And when I looked at Alice and came up with the whole idea for that, I had this concept of, could I build a business model around these things, what I called the three pillars of giving? So one was, could I make giving between people this like truly authentic experience where you're actually bringing people together just to get to know each other better and understand each other more, especially in business, which is so wrought, you know, with like inauthenticity. Mm-hmm. And second pillar of giving was giving back to those in need. So how do you also make it? That's where the donation aspect, you know, came in from day one. So we've donated a huge amount, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars back to charity, you know, as Alice. And how do you give back to the planet? So also wrought with, you know, the corporate spend with gifting and rewards and swag and meals and trips and tickets and events is like a huge amount of waste. And so how do we actually make that experience something where you're actually saving the planet and building sustainability into everything that you do? And that was really where the impetus of Alice came from. And literally the business model that I wrote down on a whiteboard, you know, 5 years ago is still the business model that you know, carries through to today. So
wow, that's really super
quick dots.
Yeah. I mean, especially in today's world, there's so many emails, so many LinkedIn connections, automated everything. Mm-hmm. And the more it moves towards automation, if you can be personal, you just stand out above everybody else. And it's all about creating the personal connections.
Yes.
So yeah. No doubt about it. How does AI play a role in what you're doing, or, you know, how does that fit into your
model? Yeah, there's a few different models in terms of how Alice uses, you know, AI. And there's also something here to be understood as like, AI in most cases is not true AI. Most people are really referring to like machine learning. Like, how are you actually using data to actually help to evolve, you know, something? So in our specific case, there's one key thing to understand in terms of what we believe is the difference between being personal versus personalized. Like, personalized is when you're customizing towards like a persona, meaning like you generally know the behaviors and the patterns of an individual, and you're kind of trying to match towards that. It's like Netflix telling you what you might actually be interested in. It's like Amazon saying, hey, you might be interested in this because of your past purchase behaviors that are there. That's personalized, right? And even to the point of like personalized being, hi, first name, I see you're with company X and, you know, are looking to do, you know, Y, which is what, you know, it was people are making fun of that. And that's what most of your spam is. Being personal is when you actually are investing time in trying to create emotional resonance with somebody. And you can use data to help with that. But at the end of the day, you have to invest time and or money into that. And it's super easy. People can tell within fractions of a second whether somebody actually invested time in somebody else. And as you mentioned, with emails, LinkedIn messages, text messages, you know, name any digital channels that are out there, those are all wrought with, I'm going to sequence and cadence the living crap out of you. And basically everyone knows whether you're into sequence or not. Like, hey, do you want to, you know, A, B, or C, you know, were you eaten by a tiger or, you know, whatever the cheesy sales things are right now. Like, it's like, stop with the, like, what's the kitschy next thing. It's show me that you actually care about me as a human being and how we actually drive that forward. So if you take that as the context, everything we're building at Alice is to figure out how do you get to that level of showing somebody you're investing time and money, you know, into the person. And that's it. So Alice has this whole model where it can actually help find out what a person's interested in by going out to the public web and being able to find all those interests of that person. And then using that as a way to surface up what's the right way and right thing to invest into this individual person. So it takes a lot of that time that you'd normally be spending on those things and then putting it towards, you know, the ability to invest, you know, invest in that person that's there. And we use that in different capacities, you know, in terms of like the what to invest in the person, when to invest in the person, you know, those types of, you know, things as well. And, you know, as we continue to grow the business, there's going to be a lot of other places we're already investing in that, you know, machine learning and AI is going to be playing a big part of, you know, part of that story of how do you actually get to a one-to-one level with individual people as well.
That's amazing. I mean, over 30 years of selling and building teams of over 100 people, when you try to train someone on the simplicity of going to their LinkedIn profile or their Facebook page or an Instagram and then seeing, oh, like I just got back from Telluride yesterday. Yeah. someone could have easily gone to my Facebook profile that I believe is open and say, look at those cool pictures. Huh? Looks like you were fishing with your dad. Amazing. Let me send you a fly fishing hook. And as simple as that, just showing me that, ding, you listened or you did your research, not just to connect with me as a CEO, but as a person. And that's super powerful that it serves that up automatically. And to your point, AI ranges a broad range, right? Machine learning and being an intelligent AI, we're a few decades away from that. But certainly the first inklings of AI of what we're talking about here are hugely, hugely powerful.
Yeah, totally agree. Couldn't agree more.
I just talked to the founder, or not founder, one of the early VPs at IBM Watson recently. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the power of this. And I said, what do you think, you know, in terms of comparing it to the internet, how much more powerful will AI be? And he goes, that's the wrong comparison. Compare it to electricity. And he said, it'll be 5 to 10 times more powerful than electricity. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, it's just such a huge impact that the internet had and that electricity had. And now AI is going to have even more of an impact.
We'll take that and run with it, which is electricity was a foundational platform to build off of that allowed so many other innovations to take place. AI, this evolution from automating activities to automating intelligence. Mm-hmm. And if people are doing it right, automating intelligence is so powerful because it's basically getting into the human psyche and it's actually using all the different components to actually, you know, help to drive decisions, you know, inside a business. And once it gets to the scary part will be when it's actually driving emotional decisions. I think we're a long ways away from that, but that is going to come. And it's going to be this place where, you know, people are already playing around with how does AI affect the psyche of the person you're actually buying with, you know, that's there. I think the stage we're at right now where people are calling it AI is much more around, you know, the decision-making around intent, but eventually it'll get to, you know, decision-making around emotion, you know, as the trends continue to play on.
Thank you for tuning in to the AI for Sales podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by ScaleX.ai, Pipeline as a Service, and BDR.ai, always on prospecting for LinkedIn. Visit www.scalex.ai if you want to transform your top of funnel prospecting machine, or visit www.bdr.ai. If you want to hire a virtual BDR to do LinkedIn prospecting for you for just $500 a month. Well, if you think of any psychologist, if you've ever been to one in your life, right? What do they ask? It's how does that make you feel when your wife says something like that? Or how does that make you feel, Tracy, when Chad says that? Yep. And feelings are how people make decisions.
Correct.
It's generally not analytics. So getting the arms around that feeling part of the equation, you're right. It can move. And I do think if you look at Facebook advertising and mm-hmm. LinkedIn and Google and everything that's going on in the world, that's why this bill is so scary, right? I mean, it's so interesting. Both sides, you can understand, hey, I'm a business. I discovered how to move people on their emotions. And then, you know, private citizens are like, wait, you're ringing the dog whistle here. So it's interesting times. And I think it'll require some level of ethics oversight, a chief ethics officer in companies to actually pay attention to this stuff.
One of our chief privacy officer's friends is like the head of that at Facebook right now. So he just took that over. And it's super interesting talking with him. His name is Pedro, about like, what are the ethics and how do you actually build trust inside of people? And that's all about governance of data. It's also about how you govern AI too, because AI can get to the creepy side very, very quickly. It's the same thing that, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, gifting with people, there's a, like, talk about feelings. It, when you invest money into an individual, it totally changes the psychology of how you're actually interacting with them. Email is super transactional, right? Like, maybe you can eke out some sort of feelings inside of there, but it's nowhere near as powerful as like a video. But then you go from a video to like investment of dollars into somebody, and it totally changes the psychology because you go immediately to the memories and like the feeling that something made to you. And then you connect that to the actual experience you're having with a person. So there's a lot of evolution to happen, you know, as you think about that as time plays on, that's there. And I think that's the exciting piece of this as you go forward, which is you know, reps try and do that, how much are machines going to be able to actually take over a lot of that as time goes on? Because look at the trends. People are buying software without talking to people now, right? The whole, you know, product-led growth movement as you look at this. But people are also getting more in tune with the, you know, the brand and understanding what that is. And you've got to be able to create that feeling and emotion. And how can you do that at a higher level, especially when you're dealing with marketing organizations? You know, like they're going to have to own more and more of that, that relational emotion as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, it's layer that with virtual assistants. And that's what we're helping a lot of customers set up is instead of hiring, you know, Josh Smith, now you can create Josh Smith and Josh does the outreach. And then one person manages Josh and Marissa and Alyssa and five other virtual assistants until that sales rep's calendar's full. Email, social outreach, voicemails. You know, now you can have one person pulling the strings of five virtual assistants, and five VAs would cost you one fifth or one tenth of the cost of a person. Layer on personal, not personalization as we talked about, but personal outreach and mapping that, you know, man, look out world. You can be more personal with the use of virtual assistants, which is pretty interesting combo. So yeah. What do you think about 3 to 5 years from now? Well, let me ask this question first. Without AI, does your product exist? Probably yes, but it would require a heck of a lot more manual research by people, I would think. Talk to us about.
Yeah, I mean, we do have people that are behind the research because you can't be like, you can't just be 99.8% accurate. If you get that 0.2% wrong, then there's automatic distrust. So we still have humans behind it, which is why I say true AI is not true AI. Right. Like you might call it like augmented, you know, intelligence, right? Instead of like, you know, automated intelligence, you know, as you think about it. And you think about it even with like, a, you know, it's just scale X AI. Think about X.AI. And like they had, you know, 300 or 400 people that were reading every email and then responding back to train the system because it's all about, you know, critical mass of data that you can use to actually train, you know, just machine learning and just the algorithms and the models behind it to be able to actually act like a human being, you know, that's sitting behind that as well. So to your answer, yes, our platform would exist because part of the thing that we solve is the logistical nightmare of having to actually be able to facilitate gifts, swag, direct mail, right? You know, through the process of these organizations where, you know, I was talking with a potential customer this morning and, you know, they're like, yeah, we do this whole thing manually and they've got like 5,000 reps, you know, and I'm sitting here, how are you doing this manually right now? That's just, it's mind boggling. You know, so this space is very nascent and it's just coming up right now. And I think there's a lot of motion that's happening inside of it because people are realizing you can actually be programmatic while being personal, but there's a balance to that as you continue to actually scale this. And when you think about this as like a big chunk of your budgets, you know, events and marketing, you know, budgets specifically, and even when you get into the sales side of things, like there's a lot to be done there. So we already can exist without the AI and the machine learning stuff that's sitting behind there. It's just like the data helps you be better at doing what you do because you're actually trying to help optimize, you know, the relationships between these people and, you know, your customers' dollars, you know, at the end of the day there.
Yeah. Well, what it makes me think about is one of our services is a AI powered warm introductions platform. So you pick 500 accounts, we'll get you about on average 65 warm introductions of the 500 people. So that might be a good first pass, but then what about the 435 that you didn't get? Well, you could do a voicemail drop. Fine. You could do an email and a cadence, but why, if you're going for the personalized approach, and these are accounts that could be $50,000, $100,000, $2 million, yeah, then you don't want to burn them out with a sequence or a cadence. You just don't. They're going to opt out, and now you're no longer legally allowed to send them an email anymore.
100%.
I have to believe 58 to 75% from the math I looked at over the last couple of years are opted out. So that's why when reps would come on my team and their BDRs and they're like, Chad, I can't even use email right now because 60% of the data set's gone. Like it's non-usable. And that's why LinkedIn became so popular first so quickly, because now I can legally reach out to you again. But pretty soon that channel is going to be
saturated already.
It's already saturated.
I mean, the amount of, I checked this morning, I like been staying away from LinkedIn on purpose, you know, for the last few weeks, and the amount of spam that I had in there was just asinine. You know, like I had my executive assistant going through LinkedIn for me just to like clear it out. So I didn't even have to like deal with it because it's stressful. And people are like connecting. And you're like, why are you trying to connect with me? And then literally the like 2 seconds later, you have that, you know, the pitch is sitting in your inbox. And then you're in, now there's LinkedIn bots where they're actually sending the, you know, the repeated things after that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
for God's sakes, you know, LinkedIn, give me a spam button. But you're right about the opt out. You know, it's like you need to be creating a mechanism to opt in. And that is everything that we're doing at Alice, is it's always giving somebody the power of choice in terms of how they want to interact. And then they can decide to opt in or not. Once they opt in, then they're marketable. And that's the beauty of what Alice is able to actually allow you to do. You
know, yeah, that's great. Well, I'm eager to continue the dialogue with our head of channels and partnerships. And I think what you're doing is, you know, when I discovered tools like yours and approaches like yours, chapter 21 in our book was the AI automation that helps you do with warm introductions. And I left the book open for another 2 weeks while I went on a cruise ship because I found it was so powerful and amazing. And then we ended up purchasing that technology a year and a half after we wrote the book called AI for Sales. Yep. And if I could add a chapter 22, it would be on what you're doing at Alice.
That's awesome.
It's truly, I mean, it's just obvious. So thinking about 5 years into the future, even a level above Alice, right? Just based on the niche that you're focused on solving, how do you see AI playing a role in sales 3 to 5 years from now?
It's a heavy question. So I think there's a lot of different ways to tackle that. One is, I think just in general, how is AI going to affect sales, let alone our niche? Because in reality, what I think is, it's not a niche. It's actually fundamentally the approach that everyone's going to end up taking, you know, through this. Right now, yes, it's gifting and it's swag and it's, you know, it's direct mail, but there's so many other channels and so many other things that we're tying into. And as you look at some of the vision and some of the things that we're looking at instituting, it's going to affect every single way that you do this. And whether it's us or anything else, the approach that everyone's taking is going to have to go from quantity to quality. It just has to. Because if you just keep up the quantity game, you're going to end up opting out your entire lists. Like that's a cliff everybody's literally running towards right now. And it's scary as hell, you know, when you deal with that. Oh yeah, you know, it's fine right now that 60% of your list is opted out. But like, what are you doing to re-engage them and actually bring them back? And I think that that's going to come to a major hit over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years as companies really realize that that's the approach. The really progressive companies, you know, the new game, meaning currently right now, is the quality game. The ones that are putting the time and effort and saying, instead of 1,000 emails going off in a sequence, I'm going to send off 10 really good emails and get 4 responses where they're much more highly engaged because I took the time, is much better than the like, fine, I'm maybe right in the right place at the right time to be able to, you know, to take those actions. It's there. Yeah. So the AI piece, where that's going to come in from my perspective, goes back to what I said before, whereas I really believe that it's going to go from automating activities, right? The AI is going to be around the activities and just about the when, you know, and the what, to the why and the how pieces, you know, later on, which is going to get much more into the AI around emotion that's there. And I had an advisor I was talking with recently saying, like, my premonition over the next 3 to 5 years is that BDRs are gone. Like, it doesn't play any sense in any deals anymore as it goes, because that role is going to be taken up by computers who are going to know exactly who to target, exactly what their intent is, exactly how to engage them, and exactly how to drive their emotional, you know, purchase intent. And match with that is the whole thing where, you know, software is going to be purchased without needing to talk to a sales rep, you know, except for heavy, heavy enterprise stuff that maybe, you know, becomes less and less of a portion in there. You see all these bigger companies that are going much more along those lines. So I think it's going to be much more around that, which is, how do you make every one of those human interactions exponentially more effective as you specifically go, and really use AI to drive that and make you be able to scale yourself like you're doing with VAs. Eventually, just systems will be able to do that without VAs. Like, you won't even need people involved in that process as it goes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just read the book Halftime, or I'm halfway through Halftime, I should say. Yeah. And it talked about efficiency versus effectiveness in the half of your life. And it's, you know, efficiency is doing things right, to your point, 1,000 emails a month and calls and voicemails, et cetera. And then doing the right things, which is kind of that shift between your first half of life and the second half of life, from success to significance. And I think the word you just chose, effectiveness, is 100% right on point. When BDRs have doubled and doubled again and doubled again, and tools have given the BDRs the ability to go from 30 activities a day to 200, you've got double, 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 and then 5X on activities. And so you have to go from efficiency to effectiveness. Being personal is part of that journey. So
I couldn't agree more.
Greg, amazing conversation. We've been talking to Greg Siegel, the founder and CEO of Alyce.com. It's Alyce.com. And just like the shirt says, always be personal. It's the new mantra for the new generation and what we need to do, especially when it comes to outbound prospecting. So really a pleasure talking with you today, Greg. Thanks for being on.
Chad. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you on the next AI for Sales podcast. For now, see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the AI for Sales podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by ScaleX.ai, Pipeline as a Service, and BDR.ai, always on prospecting for LinkedIn. Visit www.scalex.ai if you want to transform your top of funnel prospecting machine, or visit www.bdr.ai if you want to hire a virtual BDR to do LinkedIn prospecting for you for just $500 a month.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the AI for Sales podcast with Chad Burmeister. As we advance into the future, we promise to bring you the resources you need to navigate the ever-changing landscape of sales to help you 5X, 10X, or even 100X your sales motion, sales velocity through artificial intelligence. To access the show notes or leave a review, visit www.scalex.ai. Until next time.